Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. My guest is Sherry Richards. I'm so delighted you're able to join us today. Her book is called Dancing with Your Dragon. Not only is the title very visual when you think about that, we all have heard the wonderful stories about dragons, but dancing with one? Well, let's find out what it's all about. Sherry Richards, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Happy to be here.
Well, it is a delight. Before we went on air, I told you that I really, really liked the story right in the introduction of your book, where your mother said, goddesses don't eat bags of cookies. And that really grabbed me.
Because
I got my attention because we were talking about Mexican butter cookies and how I like to do that, and I dip them twice in confectionery sugar and, you know, roll them around extra and all this stuff. And, of course, if you eat too many of those, you're going to end up looking like one. I just don't think that's an option. But seriously, your mom really, it was quite an interesting individual. This woman, I was just amazed with your story.
Well, it is a pretty amazing story. My mom was I like to call her a wonderful, wonderful spiritual teacher and a rotten mother. And
right. to explain
that just a tiny little bit, when I was 19 years old, my mother ran off with my boyfriend.
And I love that part.
That was a great part, huh?
Oh, I like that, yes.
She was the original cougar, I like to say. So I'm aging myself, but that was some years ago when it wasn't such a common thing. And anyway, she ran off with my boyfriend, and it was a very, very painful experience for me. It took me numerous years to get over it. And some 20 years later or so after that happened, she went off to India a couple years after having spent time with him. I think she was with him for like 2 years, and then she went to India and lived in an ashram and had a guru and became a pretty developed person on the spiritual plane. I was living in Sedona, Arizona, and she called me one day and said, how would you feel if I moved there? And I'm like, oh! Took a deep breath, but I thought it would be a wonderful opportunity for healing, and so she came here. She started a meditation academy, a mystery school, and I learned in her school many techniques that helped me heal this deep, deep pain that was a result of my experience that happened with her when I was 19 mm-hmm. years old. So it was quite mm-hmm. an interesting journey, but profound.
I think that just about any person has gone through some kind of a trauma, one level or another. And our minds are such phenomenal holders of those experiences. I can remember holding something in my mind, and this is a trivial thing, but I had slighted someone or something was just not right. And I think it took me 25 years to finally let that go, because it would just kept hanging in my mind's mid-air section. And it was just there. And things like that really sabotage us big time.
They absolutely do. They become traumas that get held in our emotional body. And then I think the emotional body continues to kind of poke at the mind until it's like, hey, deal with me. And somehow we have to go in there, allow ourselves to experience whatever feeling or trauma is being held, and then find a way to release it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I was working on my own inner healing, of course, I had the story with my mother, and for me, a lot of it was I had to get down into the anger piece and get, you know, give myself permission to really, really get angry about it, which I didn't give myself permission to do that for many, many years. because
well,
I was raised.
Well, girls aren't ever supposed to be like that. It's just like we're never supposed to have body odor. We're never supposed to be tired. We're supposed to be like a Donna Reed special. That woman in every program she ever did that I don't remember seeing, but just one or two. And I can remember somebody talking about the Leave It to Beaver period, and even Leave It to Beaver's mother was, I mean, her hair was always in place, her makeup was done, they were walking around in high heels, and gee, that's just the way it was supposed to be. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way.
It's not like that. It isn't like that. And when we find that we have to stuff the parts of ourselves that have a valid voice, it creates sickness, it creates tension, it creates just repression and tightness in our being. And so we have to find a way to set the dragon free, to let it dance, to engage with it, and to trust it. And a lot of that has to do with becoming aware of the voice of the judge that lives inside, this inner judge that is constantly telling us what's wrong with us or what we shouldn't do, or you're not allowed to be angry at your mother. She's your mother. She's a spiritual teacher. She's enlightened. You know, it's got to be your fault. Whatever that belief system is, we have to find a way to shift that. And that's a lot of what I help people understand through the course of experiencing my book.
Your first sentence in your first chapter, you state, it takes power to move into the world and to pursue your dreams. It takes energy to live on planet Earth and discover your life's purpose. I often express to people how when we're children, we come in with this openness, and because of whatever we're indoctrinated with, we end up adopting, absorbing various elements, and it takes growing into adulthood and giving ourselves the opportunity to peel away what we no longer need to carry. And that is not an easy journey to go through. And I don't care what culture you come from, I don't care what economic level, what your IQ is, it doesn't make any difference. I've never met anybody that has not had to go through this. Have you?
No, it takes a lot of courage. That's meeting the dragon at a lot of levels, because we tend to want to please our parents. Many mm-hmm. of us do. Some people take the rebel and go, I'm never going to please my parent, you know, and kind of go the opposite route, but that's a reaction in a way as well. And so for those of us that are trying to please somebody, the parent, the religious upbringing, the peers, whatever it is, we have to peel that away and find out what the truth is of who we are and what our own guidance is from our higher self and find a way to stand in that. And there's a lot of power in that, but it requires overcoming the fear of rejection, the fear of not being good enough, all of these different fears that may be part of us if we're getting ready to take that step on the road of our own truth and our own path, as opposed to just following the easy way.
I think of a very dear friend that I've had for many, many years. And she came from a good-sized family. And in her life experience, for whatever reason, now I share this because you had the mother experience, her mother didn't like her. She really
yeah.
did not like her. And just treated her like dirt. And this woman is close to 80, and she's still is involved in this drama, and it's on a subconscious level, and it's amazing how the conscious mind will push things away. The subconscious mind never forgets anything, and it's constantly doing its drama. And
yeah.
you used a question in your book that I think is a very good question for anyone to ask. Do you like your personal movie? Do you like your personal movie? Let's go into that a little bit.
Well, the idea of a personal movie is it's just sort of what is it that's playing inside your brain all the time? What is this drama that you're living out over and over and over again? And desiring the love of the mother, you know, that's one I went through for sure. Many, many people share that. And if it's going on over and over and over and you're looking outside yourself for the love of your mother, and perhaps then sometimes it gets projected onto someone else who kind of acts like your mother or has the same energy pattern as your mother, and you're trying to get love from that person. You're constantly disempowering yourself by looking to the outer world to try to get the love. And the answer is to learn how to go inside and to begin to reparent that little girl. I am a hypnotherapist as well as an author, and one of the pieces of work that we do in the hypnotherapy session is to actually go in sometimes and fire our parents. If the parents are not treating our inner children well, we just fire them, and then we go on a journey inside and we find new parents. Parents that do see our beauty, that do see our talent, that do see how lovable we are and how much we deserve love. And it's kind of a metaphor for finding your own self-love, but it's also an energetic symbol that really truly brings presence and connection to the part that needs the love. And once that little part inside, deep in the subconscious mind, begins to feel that connection, you can actually feel it. It's not just an imaginary thing. It's a visceral experience. Then that part gets quiet and begins to relax, and the energy begins to shift, and that pattern, that movie that we've been playing out for however many years we've been playing it out, begins to change. And then we start to attract different types of people into our lives on the outer, because we're living a new reality on the inner, and it's quite magical how that happens.
I liked your dragon-o-meter.
The dragonometer.
The dragon. Thank you very much. I appreciate the correction. The dragonometer. There
yes.
we go. Now, what does it look like? We can make our own up in our own head and give it bling if we want. But the dragonometer, I really liked that word. I said, okay, there we go, dragonometer.
Yes,
how
the dragonometer.
And how do we work with it?
What it is just a tool for helping you become aware, to become more consciously aware of how you're working on your energy or with your energy. And so I liken it to a speedometer in a car, for example. Speedometer is a tool that helps you determine how fast you're going. And it doesn't tell you you're going 65 miles an hour, slow down, or you're going 65 miles an hour, speed up. It just tells you you're going 65 miles an hour. It's a meter. It's objective. It just reports. And so a dragonometer is a way to look inside yourself to see what's going on without judgment. Because if we have judgment about something inside of ourselves, we tend to pretend like it's not there, go into denial, project it onto someone else, have it happen underneath the layer of our awakening consciousness so we're not really aware that it's happening, and then we lose touch with all of that power and all of those thoughts. The dragonometer just lets you see how you're using your power. Are you stepping on someone's toes? Are you out there trying to get attention by being the funniest person in the room, even if you're feeling really sad? What's your pattern? How are you using your power? Are you trying to be the smartest person there, or are you telling yourself you're really stupid all the time and pretending you're not smart because you don't want to offend anyone or shine more than someone else? What are you doing with your energy? That's what the dragonometer does. It helps you become aware of what you're doing inside. And when you're aware and conscious, then you have choice. When you're acting unconsciously, life is just sort of happening, and you have no choice in the matter, and things happen based on the needs of the little child inside and all the unconscious things that are going on below the surface. And sometimes life plays out in not a very fun way when we're moving through life unconsciously.
That is very true, and I know as a counselor that I've dealt with so many people through the years, and I find it so fascinating sometimes to watch people in their behavior and in their actions. And I am thinking of a man that I knew that instead of claiming his own power, he became almost childlike with his wife. And it was almost as if he became that way to disempower her. In other words, he put her into a position of like playing the mother. His dragon, I learned, went way back. And he had more than one. He had a cave full of them. And they were all different sizes. And some of them didn't look too cute either. But to get him to awaken to the reality that he had to deal with these dragons, using your terminology.
Yes.
That is not an easy thing to do because he had learned how to create an invisible, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Positioning. And these dragons just disrupted his life. He actually became very ineffective. And it wasn't until something really, literally, blew up emotionally that scared him that all of a sudden he was jolted. And sometimes I think life does that to us.
Yeah,
life is not fair. And sometimes we end up getting a good, swift kick in whatever place it's going to affect us the most, whether it's relationship, finances, it can be any number of things. And sometimes it does it over and over and over and over again. It's almost like the dragon has come out of its lair and said, hello, I'm here, recognize me?
Absolutely. I call those wake-up calls, or the emotional alarm clock is another little device I have in my book that just gets you being present. Notice what's happening. If there's something going on in the emotional body, you can feel those waves going on. Pay attention, because we tend to live in our heads in this society. We're just such a mentally based society, and oftentimes we ignore the emotional level of being. And when we start to pay attention to it and really learn how to feel and learn how to be present and allow these feelings without necessarily acting out on them, without blaming other people for them like this fellow was doing, but being responsible for what we're feeling within our own being, and then learning how to work consciously with that energy by giving it permission to be as it is one of the first things that I had to learn how to do, because when you judge it, or you try to beat yourself up for having anger or any other feeling that you have judgment on, maybe a guy is beating himself up for having sadness or for being vulnerable or soft. I mean, we're still stereotyped in those roles from my generation, and I think maybe the younger generations are not quite as bad.
Oh, no, they've still got their stuff.
They still got the stereotypical
got stuff,
too.
It comes
girls,
in every generation. I don't know any generation that avoids it.
Even the girls don't cry, and girls don't get mad, and boys don't cry thing?
Yes, and you know it's perpetuated by a lot of the older generation, too.
Well, there you go. That's true. The people who haven't woken up from it yet are keeping it going. And so we're constantly trying to break out of those patterns. And when you are a person who is a feeling person, you have to give yourself permission to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let those feelings have some space to give them room to move. And that doesn't mean you have to go out in the world and throw a tantrum or, you know, have a crying fit in public. But in the privacy of your own home, it's important to realize what you can do to allow your emotions to have space so that that energy gets released. You don't want to clog up your system. It would be like having constipation on the physical level. You don't want to have emotional constipation. You want to find a way for them to come out, laugh, cry, sing, dance, whatever you need to do to express yourself and let the energy free, let the dragon dance.
I think that is so very, very important. I want to talk about your mom for a minute, because in your book, after she had really gone through so much of her own growth, she was a maverick. She just didn't want to obey anybody's rules. But when she started waking up, and she was in India for a number of years, she studied, she did all kinds of things, she became a master teacher, and one of the gifts that she gave you, and this was something that was a learning curve for you because of the way she had treated you. Like you said, she was a lousy mother. She never should have had a child, by the judgment of many. She would have been better off not having one. Yet, she ended up becoming your teacher in an entirely different way. And she said that she would never take responsibility for your pain, refused to apologize for her actions, and she never took on any guilt. My goodness, how many people are walking around with a guilt load that is so heavy that they can barely function?
so many of us, it's probably impossible to count. Yeah, we do tend to take on guilt and take on responsibility, and that is not helpful either. And I tend to be the opposite of her. I'm one of these people that tends to take responsibility for everything. That's mm-hmm. been more of my pattern. So I don't know that I would ever walk the same in the same shoes that she walked, but what she did do for me, it helped me to realize that I had to solve my own problem, that I had to be responsible for my own feelings of anger, of pain, of need for some sort of mother. And what I realized, because she refused to be that mothering figure for me, is that I was really refusing to be that for myself as well. I realized mm-hmm. that I was split. I go through the different bodies in my book. I break it down into the mental body, the emotional body, the physical body, and the spiritual body. And when we're operating in a healthy whole fashion, these bodies are all interrelating with one another. They're all dancing back and forth, each performing their various functions. But I was split. I had my mental body very split from my emotional body. And my mental body was judging and complaining and looking outside and, you know, doing all of these things that were not helpful. And my emotional body was just crying for someone to love it. Mm-hmm. And so as I learned the act of meditation, the art of meditation, much thank you to my mother, I learned to quiet my mental body and open myself up to the divine realms just through silence. And I found that through that silence, I was able to tap into a love that exists on that plane all the time, 24 hours a day. It's just there for us. And when we get quiet and just open our being, our minds, our bodies, that love just comes pouring in. And that little part of me that was so needy and hungry for connection, for feeling loved, for feeling valuable, was able to get that nourishment from the divine realms. And that basically saved my life.
It's very hard when you live in a world, depending on what culture you're in. But let's just say in the modern world of the Western image, the dynamics of just what goes on. Everything's so fast-paced. And I really like two words that you use, the drag and drama. Mm-hmm. And I think we have so much that is around us, whether it's television advertisements, radio shows of one kind or another, television shows of one kind or another, there is so much drama. And the concept of just being quiet, the concept of just enjoying maybe a glass of lemonade and watching trees bend in the wind, mm-hmm. the simplicity and elegance of just a moment can't even be seen many times. Because yeah. we are in these dramas. Describe a dragon drama, and you have some little subtitles that go along with the dragon dramas.
I do. Well, a dragon drama is a pattern that happens, and it happens in most relationships until you wake up to living outside of this drama. And there are three basic points or characters on the dragon drama. The characters are the fixer-rescuer, the child victim, and the blamer-controller. And each one of these characters has a voice. And so what happens is, because we tend to not to want to be responsible for our own energy, and we don't want to be the one who's at fault in any kind of situation, we constantly defend and blame and defend and blame and try to push any uncomfortable energy out of us and onto someone else. Or we try to, from the child victim perspective, get someone to rescue us. Mm-hmm. So the way this plays out, often it happens in deep personal relationships, because deep personal relationships are the ones that bring us to our childhood patterns that we were acting out with our parents. And it's very uncomfortable, but it would go something like this. Let's say you make a dinner for your husband, and he knows that you're making a special dinner, and it's getting on the table at 6 o'clock, and 6 o'clock comes, and you're waiting, and he doesn't get home, and he doesn't call, and you finally wait at 7:30, and he walks in the door, and the first thing he says, "What in the world? Where were you? You know that I made this dinner, and you're not here. You always do this to me, and you never call, and I'm so mad at you." And he says, "I'm really sorry, but I had a flat tire, and I left the cell phone at the office, and I just couldn't call. There was nothing I could do." "What do you mean you left the cell phone? You're always leaving the cell phone at the office." "I really left the cell phone at the office this time. I'm so sorry that I left the cell phone on." "Well, I don't even want to talk to you." "Okay, well, fine. I don't want to talk to you either then. I'm leaving. I'm heading out the door." "Wait. Oh, wait, don't go, okay? No, I'm sorry I yelled at you. No, I don't want to talk to you anymore." And it goes on. I don't know that I'm doing the best job of it right now, but what happens is these roles flip back and forth, where you go into the victim who's saying, "Oh, I need you to love me, I need you to pay attention to me," and then when the person comes over and says, "Let me pay attention to you," "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Get away from me." And then that's the blamer controller. "Get away from me. You're responsible for my feelings."
Mm-hmm.
"Okay, I'm getting away from you now. I'm leaving." "Okay, fine. You go ahead and leave." And then now you're both on opposite sides of the room. You're both in the blamer controller.
It's a fascinating aspect that you bring out in the book. Also, I really liked the chapter 7 in your book, Exploring Your Inner Landscape, the apartment building. And you say your physical body is actually an apartment building housing the many different archetype characters that inhabit your inner world. And I like that analogy, because when you think of an apartment building, you've got all of these complexes. You could have a 6-unit, you could have a 550-unit if you wanted. But it really is a very good way to describe that.
Well, it's a great way to start to get in into the feel of being able to go into your body and explore what's going on in there. You know, we can explore our outer world pretty easily. We can walk around the house and see what's out of place and, you know, pick things up or whatever. But often we don't take the time to go inside. And so when you get the imagery of an apartment building, and let's say I like to imagine it as having an elevator, and the elevator runs from the top of your head, and it goes down through this channel right in the middle of your body, all the way down through your legs and into the earth. And your superintendent, which is like your conscious awareness, can get into the elevator at any time and just take a ride down. Just imagine this conscious awareness is going down to explore what's going on. And it's the superintendent's job in any kind of apartment building to take care of things. So if the superintendent is ignoring the body or ignoring the apartments, maybe there's some leaky faucet that's going on down in 3C and nobody's paying attention to that, and it's starting to drip, 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 and then it's dripping down into the floors below. Or if the boiler's out and it's not working too well, then the heat's not getting distributed properly. And there can just be all kinds of things going on in the body that require attention. And if the superintendent is just hanging out in his own apartment drinking beer and watching television, then there's no one that's checking out the building to see what's happening and what needs to be addressed. So getting the superintendent to get in the elevator and go down and check things out is kind of like a meditation. It's a way to go exploring. And when you go exploring in your own body, you may find an energetic glonk, like you might find down in your belly there's some thing that's going blah, 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 like that down there. And that's maybe a fear or an anxiety, or maybe it's just a little child inside that needs you to hold him or her and give him or her some attention. But it's an emotional, visceral experience that you can feel in your body if you start to pay attention. And then the heart is a magical place that lives in the body, that when you do find these discordant energies, these fears or traumas or whatever they are, if you just allow your heart to expand and you take a deep breath, then these energies can begin to have a space just to melt into. and they can begin to transform and let go. And you can begin to free your energy so that the dragon can start dancing.
Dancing with Your Dragon. Sherry Richards is my guest today, and her book has so much more than what we ever discussed, but it's a delightful publication because it allows you to be very interactive with it, and I know how important that is. So check out her website, dancingwithyourdragon.com, and you'll find all kinds of things on her website, and she's got special offers for the book if you would like to buy it. dancingwithyourdragon.com. Sherry Richards, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight.
My pleasure, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. Check out dancingwithyourdragon.com, and we're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I am so delighted that you're able to join me today. And I want you to know, if you'd like to call in, I'd be happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here's the toll-free telephone number to go to, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I have totally blotted out St. Patty's Day is coming up. That's right. In just a little bit of time, there's going to be the dancing of the jig. I get such a kick out of all these recipes that people come up with for green drinks, green this, green that, green the other. I just think it's a lot of fun. And I think when you have a party, it's a great way to check out some recipes that, you know, the corned beef and cabbage just by itself can be rather ho-hum. But I have some recipes that I think you might want to enjoy. So if you're a party person and in your family, if you're Irish or whatever, and you like to celebrate with corned beef and cabbage, I will share a couple of recipes with you that I think you might want to be aware of so that you can serve it. Real easy stuff, too. But before I do that, I want to finish out the zodiac for the spring horoscope. So we have done Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. So we've got three left, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So let's get to it so we round it all out. This is what you can look forward to, springtime 2012. When it comes to relationships and interacting with people, if you're a Capricorn, usually you're loyal to almost a fault. However, there is this period that's coming in where you are making evaluations, and if situations with yourself and another person, regardless of what the status is not where it should be or where you feel it is for your best interest, you're going to move on. You're not going to stick with it. You really are going to start paying attention to who you spend time with, even more so than ever before. When it comes to money, you are going to find that your thoroughness, your dedication to discipline,
is going to reward you. And be sure you look at how you want to do your saving plan, because you will hold to it. You little goats just do a great job. And when it comes to taking a risk, you are going to find you want to invest in yourself. That's right. You are going to invest in you, because you are the greatest risk.
We have a caller on line
You are also the greatest asset. Now, I think we've got a caller on the line. So I've got two other signs that I'll give the rest of the information to. We'll get to Aquarius and Pisces, but that is for Capricorn. Do I have a caller on the line? I heard something in the background.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm magnificent. How are you? And who am I speaking with, and where are you calling in from?
Yes, this is Linda calling from Florida.
Oh, Florida, where the sun shining. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we've had snow, we've had hail, we've got rain coming down, and now the wind is blowing. Could you huff and puff and send a little bit of sunshine this way? I think we'd really appreciate it.
I will do that. Sorry.
You might want to use an extra large billow, you know, really make that thing work. A lot of hot air. Push it up this way. All right, dear, let me give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. First thing, Linda, attention to detail is going to be very important. Apparently, you have worked out a strategy for achieving something in particular. You are really paying attention to those details that must be mastered. And you are working very hard at not being impatient. And I want to compliment you on that, because you have realized that if you get too impatient, you're going to sabotage yourself, and you don't want to do that. So I want to make a suggestion to you. You may want to have more than one agenda on your activity shelf to work with. So when you put your plan of action and discipline into one direction and it has to follow its own time momentum, you've got something else to occupy your time so that you don't do over that. I'll give you an example. I knew a doctor. He was a wonderful, wonderful doctor. His name was Dr. Bloom. And he had had a major heart attack. And this is a man that had worked. He loved his work, but he had to change his patterning. So a fellow associate said, why don't you take up art? Well, Dr. Bloom finds he's an excellent sculptor. Well, he would find when he finished that piece of artwork, and he would be so concentrated and so disciplined, and he'd get it done, and then he'd go into a deep depression. And finally, he had an associate said, why don't you have two or three projects that are partially done so that when you finish the one that you're focusing on, you can go to another. And I use him as an example for you. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And that is what works with you. You are a person that really enjoys being active. Sitting quietly and meditating is fine, but you're not going to do it for 12 hours a day. You might give yourself maybe an hour max, and you'd say, well, that's enough of that. Time to get going. I got stuff to do. World's turning, so am I. And that's just who you are. You are someone that a person could give a project to, and you'd say, okay, I'll do it. Boom, and it gets done. They don't have to worry about it. No ifs, ands, or maybes. You do it. And that is a wonderful, wonderful talent. But you need something else that if something is in the stewing process, so to speak, you need to allow it to do what it needs to do, and then you need to preoccupy yourself in something else, keeping an eye on that stewing process so everything will work out well. But you can do that. You've just got that natural rhythm, and that's what you keep in mind. Did you have a question for me today?
Well, I do, and I get what you're talking about. I'm currently creating a web series, and it's taking a lot longer than I anticipated. And I also realize that I probably need to go ahead and work with other people and do other things, and so I'm kind of doing that. But the question is, since none of these projects are paying and I'm coming up to a time where I actually have to have some bills due and I have no idea where that money is going to come from, so I'm just curious as to what it is I need to do over the next few weeks 'cause I'm
I would just say put it out to people that you're happy to provide skills and services, and this is how much you charge an hour. This is what you charge for the work. It's very simple. It's not complicated. But money has never been first and foremost the biggest issue to you. You want to enjoy what you do. And so part of what you're having to learn to be okay with is to incorporate a value, a dollar value, for what you do. And you need to be at peace with that.
No, I've made a lot of money over my lifetime. I've got no qualms with making money. I just would like to actually be in a consistent job.
Well,
I'm used to making large sums in smaller amounts of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a shift for you. But again, it's just putting it out there that you have a valuable service to offer and figuring out what you're going to charge and just start doing it.
Okay.
Because the money will be there for you, but there is a different operational patterning than what you've had before. And it's not good or bad. It's just different.
Okay, so I'll just continue to ask friends and tell friends and interview.
Put it out there. And I would even, you know, you might even want to look at doing a small ad of some kind. Because what you want is something that's going to be pretty much, but you could be even a virtual assistant to somebody. I mean, the way it is in today's world, I'm just astonished at what people are able to do due to the technology. I was astonished 15 years ago when I was learning about symphonies in England that were playing musical compositions. Somebody that was in Hollywood was viewing them on a screen. This was 15 years ago, and they were doing this kind of stuff. And then they get all of it together in a studio, and they put together this composition, and you just have no idea that something was going on in London, something in Hollywood, something in Africa, and everybody finally got together via technology.
So I'll just go on Craigslist, too. I see a lot of those.
But don't be afraid, dear, because it's going to be there for you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome, Linda. Thank you for calling in. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. Quick like a bunny before I give you the other two astrological signs. I did want to let you know, those of you that are listening from the state of Washington, there are two events coming up. On the 24th of March, I'm going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral Expo. This is one of the oldest expos in the state, and it's going to be held in Kent Commons in Kent, Washington, 9 to 5. It's open to the public, free admission. I'm going to be doing many consultations, plus I'm going to have buku books from my library there. So I hope you'll stop by and say hello. And again, that's on the 24th of March, and then my next Quantum Mind class, Quantum Mind 3, is coming up. It's on the 14th of April. We are going to have Robert Newman, who's going to be discussing the dynamics of Chinese medicine. He has a lot of experience with it. And in the second half of the class, I am going to be presenting a program on dreams, interpretation, and then we're also going to be doing mind exercises to help you become aware of your own intuitive skills. So all of this is going to be going on Saturday, April the 14th. The fee is $59.95 a person, $69.95 at the door, and the hours are 10 until 4. Lunch is going to be served. We're in a beautiful environment. If you want to start registering with me, do it now because we can only have 25 students. We want to make sure that we have this wonderful interaction with all of you that come. So call me at my office, 253-582-5604. And that's 253-582-5604. And we'll register you and you'll be ready to participate in Quantum Mind 3. Okay, let's go for the last two signs of the zodiac. We have Aquarius and Pisces. Let's go with Aquarius first. This spring, wow, family matters are going to be your focus, and love is in the air. That's all I can say. And you are just ready to really have spring be here. There is this sense of liberation that you're going to be feeling within yourself, and it's a very natural feel with that time of the year. Of course, with this, you're going to find that you're really anxious to move forward. In your working environment, in a professional environment, you might find yourself in a very competitive situation, maybe if you're job hunting, but that's all right. You need to realize that you are going to really enjoy the process of refining skills, of being out there and reaching out to new opportunities. This is what the Aquarian person loves. They're very mental. They really like to enjoy challenges of different types, especially a challenge of expanding themselves. Also, this is a good period for you to really look at how you would like to leverage your money. How do you want to see yourself, or how do you see yourself, let's say 5 years from now? What kind of an economic position would you like to be in? Start doing your homework. One, start saving, and two, start exploring. Where would you like to leverage your money? How do you want to diversify it so it's going to grow for you? Getting out of debt is one of the best things that you can do right at the beginning. And then a new hobby. This seems to be the time of the year for you to really tap into that adventurous part of your personality. Let's let it enjoy itself. Don't be a workaholic. Really enjoy that. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Pisces, well, we're going to take a break, and I'll get back to you right after the break here. Or you can call me at 888-627-6008. And I'll give you an insight to yourself. Either way, we'll be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number to call in and chat if you so desire is 627-6008. Of course, that's preceded by 888-627-6008. Okay, let's get back to those of you under the sign of Pisces. This is the last sign of the zodiac. We've covered them all. This spring, you're really coming into touch with yourself. You really want to be more aware of who you are. And you are going to be blossoming, I think, as an individual. You're going to find that whatever drama maybe has been going on in your life, you're going to close it out. You're not going to want that drama anymore. When it comes to money, you're not going to feel like it's topsy-turvy. You're really going to be making some very, very strong decisions about how you want to see a better cash flow in your life. You're going to become more open to inventive opportunities that will allow that cash flow to flow. And your creativity is something you're going to want to give more time to. And this is marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. I think sometimes it'd be a good idea to have a brainstorming party. It's just great. Also, you're going to be taking something that you've held close to your heart, your mind and your spirit. It's a dream. It's something that you've just sort of nurtured and kept sheltered because you didn't want it damaged. Well, you're going to find you're going to be bringing it out so that it can breathe. And then you're going to discover that you're going to have a life that you're going to be able to give it. And you're going to find that spring is going to give you the opportunity to reach out for something, or actually to bring it up and out of yourself, something that you've always wanted. And spring is a good time to do it. Spring is when everything is blossoming, alive, and rich with color and life. Oh, it's one of my favorite times of the year. Okay, St. Patty's coming up. Got any special plans? Well, I don't know about you, but I enjoy good biscuits. Scones are a kind of biscuit. And I came across this Irish soda bread, cheesy Irish soda bread scone recipe, and I thought, you know what? I love cheesy biscuits. I just think they're absolutely delicious. And you can fix those really, really fast. Just a biscuit mix, throw in as much cheese as you want, mix it into the dough, and bake it up. You've got those delicious cheesy biscuits. And if you really want to make them even extra cheesy, maybe just spring some more cheese on the top. But that's easy enough to do. But I hadn't come across something like this, and I want to share this recipe with you because you don't need to serve it on St. Patty's. You can serve it any time, and it's going to be so deliciously different and flavorful. People, I think, will ask you for the recipe. So here it goes. You're going to need 1 cup of raisins, 3 3/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 3 3/4 cups of all-purpose flour. You want 1 cup plus 2 tablespoons of shredded sharp cheddar cheese. It's about 5 ounces. I'd say don't worry about the ounces. If you want to put in a little extra, put in a little extra. I think the extra sharp cheddar cheese is the best to use. It really gives a flavor bite when you wrap your mouth around the cheesy scone. 2/3 of a cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of caraway seeds, 2 1/4 teaspoons of baking soda, 3 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/4 cups of buttermilk, an egg, 6 tablespoons of butter, and you might want to nuke that in the microwave for about 30 seconds because it needs to be melted. And be sure you have plenty of additional butter on hand because everybody's going to want to have some more on these scones. Now, this is what you do. You're microwaving your raisins with a cup of water on high until it's hot, 1 to 2 minutes. And you let it stand for 30 minutes, and then you drain the water away. Now, if you wanted the night before, you could put your raisins in some water and just let them soak overnight and not have to do that step. But either way, that's what you do. You're going to preheat your oven to 325 degrees, and you're going to coat your baking sheet with cooking spray. You want to mix your flour, a cup of the cheese, sugar, caraway seed, soda, and salt. Just mix all of that together. Then your buttermilk, egg, and your 4 tablespoons of melted butter, you want to whisk that together in a separate bowl. Make a well in the flour mixture with the raisins, and you mix your milk, your egg, and your butter on that. Now, you're going to, on a lightly floured surface, you want to knead this gently until the dough forms. And you want to divide your dough into 2 equal pieces, and you want to shape each piece into a 6-inch disc. And then you cut each of the discs into 6 wedges. And then you want to take a spatula, put your wedges on the baking sheet. You want to have them about 2 inches apart. Brush the tops of the scones with your butter. Bake it until golden. It takes about 20 minutes. And if you really like the cheesy flavor, put more cheese on the top. Yes. It's going to take maybe the last 5 minutes of baking time. Put your cheese on it then. And you can always have lots of butter on the side. This is so deliciously flavorful. And the sharper the cheese, the better that flavor is. And your guests will just want to know all about the recipe, so be sure to have a few copies available that you can give away. This is so easy, it is so delicious, and it really is going to make those taste buds just happy as they can be. Corned beef and cabbage, this is a nice compliment, but this is a good soda bread to fix, soda bread scone is what it's called. And it's just wonderful to fix anytime. Go great with a steak. It would go great with chicken. It doesn't make any difference. It's easy, flavorful, and delicious. All right. I know we're out of time. My goodness. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Playboy, celebrities, and me. Diane Dorman is going to be my guest. Yes, we'll be talking a little bit about Hugh Hefner and some other famous people. Burt Reynolds, a few others like this. So I think you're going to want to listen in. I'm so glad you joined me today. Thank you so much. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. If you have any dragons, which we all do, learn to dance the tango with them and enjoy the journey. Remember, you're one of a kind. And aren't you glad? You should be. Because that's what makes life so interesting. Enjoy your journey wherever you may be. God bless. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.